that you can oppress other people and put them down for their beliefs. Come on, somebody raise their hand. Yeah. No, remember the tactic. That's good. He's doing the combo tactic. Good. How do I know that? Good. Well, I mean, doesn't it appear to be that way to you when you look around the world and see all these different beliefs? How can we all have such, be so convinced about our beliefs? How can we be so convinced about them? I mean, how do we know we're right for sure? How do we know?
So when you're saying that anybody can believe whatever they want
to? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Absolutely.
So then the people that did the bombing, they're right. We need to respect the religion if they did it because they believe in the religion and they have the right.
Excellent. You guys did that. Now here's what I'm going to resort to, though. That's true. But I think that as long as we're not hurting other people, that it's okay to have religious viewpoints, as long as we're not hurting other people.
So I can go out and break into your car and take all your money, steal your car, and you won't be mad at me?
Well, no, because that's hurting me. That's hurting me, you see. You guys are doing great, by the way, okay? He's not going to go, you got me, you know, and give up. You're doing great, see? What you're doing is you're boxing me in. I can't go back now, by the way. You dealt with my first statement. I cannot go back to moral relativism. See what you did? I can't go back to moral relativism. Because my statement about morals is, hey, morals are, hey, they're all okay, haha, you know? And he said, hey, well, if that's okay, let me go steal your stuff. Well, now I can't go back there because I know that punk kid in class is going to raise his hand. So I'm going to stay away from that one now. Okay? You see what I'm saying? Now let's keep going with this. Yeah, but Christians are so oppressive, though. Don't you think? I mean, what if I just came in here and just, you know, oppressed you into my new religion and made you all eat pork 7 days a week and just oppressed you and forced you to do... That's wrong. You shouldn't be oppressive like that. You should let people all be free to think any way they want to think.
So if you oppress somebody, you call that freedom?
No, I'm saying that when you oppress someone, that's not freedom. We should let people be free.
But you're oppressing us by pushing that belief upon us.
Which belief? Okay, good. Now, she's right, but try to formulate it in this pattern. Formulate it in this pattern, guys, taking the roof off. First, repeat back my statement. Summarize it. See? Because you got me, but you might have lost the students. See? You got me for sure, but you might have lost the students. So what you're saying is, do that. Summarize it. Come on, let's go. So we shouldn't oppress. I mean, come on. Don't you think it's terrible? You go into these churches and, you know, think this way, act this way, kneel, stand, sing, read. It's brainwash.
You believe everybody should believe what they want to believe.
Yeah, absolutely.
You believe that?
Yes, I do. I think that we should have the freedom to believe what we want to believe.
Why are you telling us this?
Mike just did it. See? He did step one and step two. See what he did? Well, I'm telling you this because... What can I say? I was going to say I think it's wrong. I'm really trying to think like a non-believer. I can't say I think it's wrong anymore. Why? Because this gentleman over here boxed me out of moral relativism. Right? I can't say I think it's wrong because then that brings that subject up again. Now Mike has told me, why are we here? Right? Class dismissed. There's no truth. Go home. Right? Why study? Very good. See? Well, we're here to discuss each other's beliefs and be tolerant of one another. That's why. To understand each other. I think that's why we're here. Not just to learn everything, but just to understand each other. Don't kill me, dude. Put that switchblade away. See, this is tactics. Be tactful. Okay, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Repeat it back to me. Come on, you can do it. We're here to understand each other and tolerate each other. Yes, sir. No? Okay, anyone else? Come on, we're here to tolerate. Somebody else, come on. Think about it.
It's not a test, right? We're not
going to
be there.
Yeah, no, of course not. I'm just getting you to practice, guys. I'm just getting you to practice.
Okay.
Yes?
So if we're here to tolerate each other, why are you being intolerant of Christianity?
Excellent. You see what he did? That was perfect. That was perfect. And now, he didn't do it in the two statements, which, of course, I would prefer. But that's fine. He still had it in his reply, you see? So, he told me, you're here telling us that we should tolerate everybody, and yet you're intolerant of Christianity. Is that correct? If you formulate it with a statement rather than an attack, it's not like an attack, it's a question to be answered. And the other good thing is he has to answer it. If you just say the statement, he can go, well, that's ridiculous. But if you form it in a question, then he's got to answer. He has to answer. I have a friend who's in a university, man. He does this to his professors all day. They hate him. They hate him. He's like, excuse me. They're like, he's ignoring them. And one time, he stood up and he goes, excuse me. And he goes, the professor literally goes, shut up, shut up. Because he had nothing else to say, okay? Now, the goal is not to frustrate the professor, but hey, when he's in that class, those kids aren't learning that garbage anymore. Thank God for that, okay? You guys are starting to grasp how this works? You're starting to see how it works? Yes? No? Some of you, yeah, I'm not sure. The practice, the doing of the thing will help you. Now, listen to this. Naturalism is a harder one. I won't do that. Let's just do atheism. Atheism. Yes, ma'am.
So what do you say to that person that says, well, okay, so you believe what you want to believe, and I believe what I want to believe. We're respecting each other. I mean, it's that issue.
That's a little harder one. Yeah, I can go through it with you. See, very good, though. Let's go through it then. So, now, just try to grasp as much as you can of this issue. So wait a minute. You're saying that as long as you believe what you want to believe and I believe what I want to believe, we should respect each other and be happy. Good. How can you apply that to real life and show that that's a ridiculous thing? Think about it. What's that? Go back to the theft. That's a good way. That's interesting because there are certain people who really believe that stealing all your clothes is the highest value in life. So do you think it's okay for them to believe that?
That they may think that value is...
Right. They think it's okay. Are you okay with...
I agree with you that that's not a good thing to do.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, but see, you showed them something. Exactly. You showed them that they don't really think that way. Because if they really thought, you believe what you want to believe and I believe what I want to believe, they should have watched the TV on September 11th and said, oh well, they believed what they wanted to believe, we believe it. And by the way, there are university students who are saying just that right now, about September 11th. It's disgusting. It's moral relativism. It's disgusting. They're saying, hey, their beliefs, I can't judge them. They believe what they did was right. See?
Yeah, because they didn't buy their house directly.
Exactly. So, see, that's what you do. You repeat the statement back and then try to apply it to them in a way that they can understand. Let me give you, and you can get a little strong without being vulgar, but what I've learned is if you give a strong example, they'll see it a little easier. Like, for instance, you believe what you want to believe and I believe what, so you repeat it back to them. You say, so what you're saying is you believe what you want to believe and I want to believe what I want to believe and then we're okay as long as we just both have belief. They say, yes. So what you're saying is belief is the highest value in life. We should respect everyone's beliefs above everything else. Yeah. Well, what if I firmly believed that I was completely right and just and punching you in the face as hard as I could right now? Would you let me? No. Of course they wouldn't. So wait a minute, though. See? Well, then obviously, you don't think it's okay for people to believe whatever they want. Because if you did, you'd let me steal your car. Does that make sense? See what I did? And that's what you do. If you follow those rules, you can figure it out. And sometimes when you're repeating their view back to them, your mind's going, oh, yada, yada, and you're like, find an example that you can apply the statement to in real life. It's from class one. Apply that to real life, and it shows them that it's silly. Right? So you're saying you believe you want to be, you know, what you said. You believe what you want to be. So did you see, say they're old enough to see the Manson trial? Did you get mad when you heard about Manson? Or John Wayne Gacy, who raped and murdered 35 boys? Did you get upset about that? Well, yeah. Well, he really believed that murdering and raping 30 boys was great. He thought it was wonderful. As a matter of fact, Gacy went to his grave thinking it was fine. So is that okay? Do you think that's okay? They're going to have to say no, see? So I'm applying what they say to real life to show them it's silly. That it's not okay to believe whatever you want to believe. Does that make sense? So that's the two rules. Repeat it back to them. Apply it to real life. Find examples. Yes?
I think that in these situations, we're not there to convert them or to make them understand the worst things, but just put doubt in their minds that what
right.
they're thinking is not right.
Exactly.
I mean, we can go in circles back in what we're doing. But why don't you just put the doubt in there? That's why you have
exactly.
to walk away. I mean,
I'm totally listening to you. You. Exactly. You know, and that's a good point. They'll still go, well, but in their mind they're going, huh, that's what's going to happen. Look, let's say, let me just do this illustration. I don't know how theological it is, okay? Here's salvation, okay? Here's this person. He's right here. And here's moral relativism land, okay? Here's naturalism land, okay? All la-la lands of Disneyland. Here's, let's see, pantheism, right? You know, all is God, God is all, Buddhism. And let's say there's all these other lands that he's into, okay? Relativism. Well, what I've done, when I share salvation with him, he runs all over the country, okay? What I'm doing is I'm going, well, you can't go there anymore, right? A week later, well, you sure can't go there anymore. A week later, you sure can't go there anymore. You can't go there anymore. So he's left in this little space between him and salvation now. Okay, and there's still always going to be that space, by the way. What's that space? His decision. And I can't change that.
But I think the key that you're making here is a week later.
Right.
It's not going to all happen right then.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Someone that's so hard-hearted.
Right. It's one thing at a time. Planting seeds, one thing at a time. As the Lord, now, God may bless your discussion and just boo boo. That's great. Hey, give him glory for that. But, you know, one thing at a time, and let the Lord do the rest. You know, salvation is of the Lord. Yes.
Well, I came to the Lord in my mid-30s.
Okay.
And let me tell you, I was empty. I was searching. I was a Catholic. I went to the atheism. I went, like you said, all over the country. I
right.
had a deep hole in my heart.
Yes.
And when I came, to, nobody ever confronted me on all those issues.
Mm-hmm.
I came to the grave.
Of course.
But what I'm saying is, when I became a Christian, I was an intellectual. I loved to read everything. And when I became a Christian, I kind of like rejected everything, and I tried to erase everything from my mind, and I immersed in Christian doctrine and literature and everything. And now thinking about it, I want to remember how I thought back then.
Sure.
So I can put myself in their place and understand their point.
Sometimes sure.
It's not just that they hate Christians. It's just that they don't understand.
Exactly.
Now, the whole issue in my life, when I was very attracted to Buddhism, atheism, all the isms, was I didn't want to confront my sin.
Exactly.
Because all those other things allow me to live in that sin and to feel spiritual and good about
exactly.
myself. And when I heard somebody saying, you are a sinner, and Jesus died for your sins, I was like, oh, wow, that
yeah.
was the answer. And so I think, well, it's a question, I guess. It's not bad, right? Like,
no.
remember your experiences that you had in your life to understand.
That's a part of your testimony.
Right.
Sure, certainly. And you know, hey, if we were going to all choose a religion that was going to be true, would you choose Christianity? If you were going to choose a religion, would you choose... I mean, heck, I'd pick like Buddhism, you know, because you don't have to be responsible to anything. I'd pick like Zen or something, you know, because, hey, you do whatever you want, and like you said, still be spiritual. And that is the essence of pantheism, you know. But, you know, the fact is, it's not true. The truth is Jesus Christ. That's the truth, see. And we're responsible, and that's just the way it is. So, and that's that. People are looking for places to hide away from the truth of Christianity. All right. So these are the most important. The last few are not as important. They're smaller tactics. But you guys see these three tactics, how important they are? The suicide method, the Columbo method, taking the roof off. These are your babies, man. These three right here, if you understand them, you can think about them and bring them out in conversations and use them and really cause a person to think about the places they're hiding intellectually. And then you'll kind of start to erase. Now, by the way, you guys did great with the professor illustration. Wonderful. You guys did wonderful. And I'm really glad that it's making sense to a lot of you, and hopefully most of you and all of you will take away something from this kind of apologetic, because it really does help. I'm going to zip through these because I don't want to keep you long. It's been a long evening for you, I know. I just want to say, first of all, before we go on, I wanted to mention the values clarification class. How many of you know what that is? Some universities offer a values clarification class. What it is all the students get in and they all decide through the course of the semester what their values are. They get to pick them. And so they read all kinds of books, the Bible, the Quran, the Hindu books and religious books and literature, and they all, at the end, they have to take a test on all these different books and what they teach and have to write a thesis paper on what their values are in life. A group of students gathered together who were Christians and had to take that class, and they decided to cheat on the test. And they said to the teacher, our value, we've discovered, is that cheating in your class is okay. It's fine. We should do it. And we can't wait. And we appreciate you helping us do that. You have really helped us to learn how to live our lives for cheating and stealing. And we're so happy we've learned that value. And she said, well, you can't do that. And they said, why not? She says, well, this is my class, and here I make the rules. You know? That's like might makes right. It's like Chairman Mao. You know? She's saying you should be able to decide your own rules, but not in my classroom, not in my house, right? It's not going to happen here. See? So what she's done is committed intellectual suicide. She's shown that whole class is bunk, bogus. Don't take it. It's ridiculous. Why go to a class and discover morals when everyone knows what they are? They're right here, written in our hearts by God Himself. Amen? We all know what they are. We know what they are. Read the Ten Commandments. They resonate with you because you know what they are. They're already here. Okay? So that's a good way of taking the roof off. That's an example of taking the roof off. Scholar tactic, really quick, here's what it is. The scholar tactic. People use scholars all the time. Well, scholars agree, right? Scholars say the Bible's not the Word of God. Now, you introduce the Columbo tactic here. And you ask, really, how did they reach that conclusion? I don't know. Who knows? Nobody knows. For instance, the Jesus Seminar. Do you know what the Jesus Seminar is? The Jesus Seminar is a bunch of theologians that got together and arbitrarily decided what was in the Bible and what was not in the Bible. And they would call themselves scholars. There were 70 of them. Very few of them were scholars, just a handful. One of them was John Crossian. By the way, will the real Jesus please stand up? Write that down. Will the real Jesus please stand up? It's a book. It's a debate between William Lane Craig and John Crossan. And William Lane Craig is a Christian apologist. Excuse me, he does all of this stuff. And he rips them up. John Crossan believes, here's John Crossan's reasoning. Since resurrections do not exist, therefore Jesus could not have risen from the dead. Very scholarly, isn't it? Since miracles do not exist, therefore we know the Bible is not inerrant. Since there were no miracles, therefore we knew that Jesus did not heal the sick. That's his reasoning. That's his scholarly reasons for not believing the statements of Jesus. Okay? They supposedly got together and voted out all the Acts, his resurrection. They voted out most of the statements, most of his teachings, and were left with like a handful of things that they just arbitrarily decided were what Jesus said. 70 scholars. You guys should know about this. It was all over Newsweek 10 years ago. All over the papers. People were calling in talk shows and saying, these arrogant Christians should finally open their eyes and see that scholars are saying that Jesus didn't even... Well, wait a minute. Why do the scholars believe this? Why? What's their evidence for that? Ask that question when people use the scholar tactic on you. Say, well, why? How? How do they come to believe that? And if they have answers, usually their answers won't be very good. And if the answers are good, then try to find out good reasons to refute them. Oops. I don't know why I'm carrying the pen around. I'm sorry. It's just, yes.
Is this kind of going along with the they say? And the easiest thing to do against that is, who are they?
Yes.
And then it shuts them up immediately.
Yeah, exactly. That's the scholar tactic, by the way. And people even commit intellectual suicide, use the suicide tactic, because they'll say, you only believe Christianity because your parents. I know that because my psychology teacher told me that. I just committed intellectual suicide. You see what I did? I believe that because my psychology teacher said that. I believe that you believe that because your parents said that. So what's the difference between you and me then? Yes?
Well, they'll say, I saw it on a documentary.
Ask them more questions.